I think I'll just start. Before I start, are there any like questions or any stuff that I need to like explain again or go over again? I got an email of like, hey, can you please go over like XML again? But she's not here. So. So I could probably just do it next class or something. But yeah. Anything in particular you want like explained or like, have questions for or whatever? Or okay. And then I guess I'll do XML stuff. So, for the other people, are there any other questions of like stuff that you want me explained before I start, or so the plan for today's lecture would be like before the break, I would just go over like a bunch of XML and XSD stuff. And do some exercises from the previous exams. And then for the second part, I'll do like the XML like transform things, which is basically like taking one XML file and then using like a to transform like XML into like other XML files or like HTML files or whatever. I don't think this year we'll have as much focus on that. I don't think it'll be in the exam. I don't think it was in the exam last year either. So, but it's important. Just I don't know how much you guys up there would use it, but probably more than them at least. But it's still important to know that it exists and it's useful. So for the assignments, which I think was what prompted these questions of what the hell is going on, I'll try to like mirror a bit what the assignments are asking for and see like what the process is to go from like a table to like the XML file, and then how to like validate that with the XSD. By the way, do you have access to the previous exams in Blackboard? Yeah. You do? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I'm probably making the exam this year, so it'll maybe be a bit different, but it'll maybe follow along like the same type of exercise. We'll see. So we can start. This exam is from 2016. So here's a table of data, right? And this has a ship name, ship type, and the capacity of that ship, and then it has like a bunch of voyages. So like the general approach when you get like this type of exercise is first figuring out like what is the most important thing, or what like aggregates things to the point where I don't really need to duplicate like a lot of data, right? Because you look at this table and you could be like, well, I can, the source of my or the root of my XML document could be something like source, and then I just have like a bunch of like destinations or locations that can like be the main focus of the document. And then inside of those locations, I can have like the cruises that passed by or something, right? You could group stuff by, I don't know. If you had like a bigger table, you could have it as like grouped by voyages. And then inside of each of the voyages, you'd have like the ships that do those voyages and all the data associated with them. And this can be a bit subjective sometimes, like, oh, what is like the main focus of the, like this XML file can depend. And a lot of times when you have exercises or like tables with data that is this small, it can be a bit tricky to figure out like what is the main thing that is represented here. Usually to help you like the exercise go from like left to right and like what is the most important stuff, or like, you know, have like the ship name here, so you could in theory just be like, okay, this is like the information about a ship, so this can be the main like grouping or the main entity of the file, and then inside of like each of the ships I can have like the information about each of the voyages. But again, like, you kind of have to evaluate it on a like case-to-case basis, because, you know, sometimes it also depends on how like the data is used, right? Do we want information about ships? Do we want information about voyages? What are we trying to convey with the data that is displayed in this file? And you kind of need to, first, the exercise needs to be clear about like what the point of the data is. Here it says like considering the following data about cruise ships. Then you can like try to infer that like the main point of this table is to like give information about cruise ships. But if you just like at the plain table and like, oh, do something about this, try to format it, you kind of need a bit more context, and then you have like a bit more freedom of like, oh, I'm going to display this as like a list of voyages, and then inside I'm going to have information about the ships that are doing those voyages, or the other way around. Yeah. So I think the solution is already here. Yeah, we can go over it. So first of all, you start with like this stuff, right? Where you define the XML version and maybe a style sheet and maybe like a schema. Do you need to know how to, like, do you need to memorize, like, how to do this? No, like, you probably just, like, copy-paste some stuff every time. Like, you go and look at the last exercise you've done, and then just, like, copy-paste this part, and then maybe change some stuff. Then you have, like, the organization of, or you have the main, like the root element, which is ships. So here, like the exercise was interpreted as we were going to display information about all the ships that are in the table. And then usually if you have like one line that goes from one table, one side of the table to the other side of the table, you can infer that like, okay, this is one thing, right? In these type of tables at least. Because here you have like the ship name, which is unique and just has like, and then you have like all the information about like all the voyages that the ship does. And that's always related to the entity on the left side. So when you're converting this type of stuff, you can be like, okay, here's like a big group of data. I can just take that and create like one ship element here that is for Thomas Luxury. And then you have another ship element down here that is for King Deluxe. And then whenever you start having more like nested rows inside of a row, then you need to start figuring out like how am I going to group the data? How does this all relate? How can I group this stuff to end up with a XML that makes sense. So in this case, we have some IDs for voyage and then some information about that voyage. So V1 goes on this date and it goes from Southampton to the Mediterranean, right? So this is all like related to the voyage, and this voyage is done by a ship. So in this sense, we can just like have all this stuff grouped under one like voyages element here. And then for each of the voyages, we have one element that gives us like the entire information about the voyage. And then in this case, just plainly just put in like ID and the date and the source and the destination. One question that might come up is like, oh, should I use elements for stuff? Should I use attributes? Like, what is the difference? How do I know? And you're going to see that in like most of the example exercises, there isn't really enough information to make like an appropriate a choice of like which one should I use, because it's very subjective. Like in general, if it's something that adds information or is kind of like metadata about an element, so say for example we have a price for something, what we want is the number, right? That the price is like 100 euros or something, and the extra information is what currency is this price on, right? If we have a measure of distance, what we want to know about is how long like the distance actually is. But the extra information is what is the unit of measurement for that specific distance. But in most cases, when you have a table like this, it's safe, usually safe to just like have it all as child elements of a main element. And that will usually be right. Is there any questions about this? No. Okay. Can look at another one. Is it this? Yeah. Task 4. Take this one. This is from 2020. So again, here we have a table. Data about the municipality's building together with the XML document, whatever. So then we have two buildings, Ike Tuna Cafe and Evik Fjell Holland. And then we have like what type of building those are. And then their zones. So that means like one building has many zones, right? And then each of the zones has like a maximum capacity and maximum capacity for COVID. And reservation date, reservation time. So if you look at the structure of the table, we have like some main rows that kind of give you like, you know, a big picture of like these are the buildings, and then you have the zones, and each of the zones belongs to a building. And then for each of the zones, we also have reservations with their specific dates and times, right? So already you can kind of see some sort of like tree structure in this table, where you go from like this very big thing, which is like the building, to zones, to the reservations inside of those zones. So if you look here at the XML that was created for this table, the root element was just called like building COVID situation. You can just name it whatever you want, usually, as long as it makes sense of what it is. And then here we have a building. So we have two building elements, and each of them corresponds to like the big row that we have in that like table, right? So we have one building that is like Tuna Cafe, and then we one building that is Fjell Holland. And here you can see that the name of the building becomes like a name tag, and then the ID becomes just a attribute for those elements. Here it was like a bit more explicit, where, you know, the attributes were just put in the like cell itself, but it could just be that we could have another column that would give us like building ID, and then it'd be like Ike 2810, right? And who's to say, like, should this be an attribute, should this be like another like element? In the end, it doesn't really matter too much, right? You'd probably get marked correct for both approaches. But here it's kind of like a bit more explicit that this is what they're going for, just because it's a it's something that is in the column itself as opposed to being like its own column, which kind of represents like, oh, this is kind of dependent on whatever like the zone is or whatever the building name is. So from there we have a building, and inside of the building we have the type, right, which is like cafe and bar or concert, sport and cafe. And this is like pretty straightforward, like whatever basically has the same vertical like length as the main thing, or whatever just corresponds to the main like element they're trying to represent, it should just be a new element inside of that parent element. And then from there we have a bunch of zones. Here you could have, here they chose to put like zones as individual like elements inside of the building. I would maybe have put like a parent like zones element just so it's a bit more organized. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter too much. You've seen yesterday with XPath that you could just, if you want to get all the zones, you can just do like slash zone and then get all of them. Anyways. But I like to be able to collapse like blocks that are like related to each other. So in like a text editor, for example, instead, if it had like 1,000 zones, I wouldn't want to go and like collapse every zone. If I just want to like see an overview of stuff, I would just like collapse like the zone tag and then just, oh, okay. So we have each of the zones, and for a zone we have the name, and we have we've added the purpose here to the zone itself, again because it was specified here. The max capacity and max capacity for COVID, again this is just relative to the zone itself, right? So that just becomes something else inside of the zone. But then we have something interesting here, which is like the reservation, right? If you look at it from, you kind of have to interpret like what the data is, because imagine you don't have like Jovik Fjellhallen and you just see this data and you see like reservation and reservation date. You could be inclined to be like, okay, each zone only has like one reservation, so they could be elements inside of the like zone itself, right? But if you think about it, it's like, is like room 8 only going to be like reserved once? Is this like really want to, what we want to represent with the data? Or is it just a case of there was only one reservation in this data set, but it's all actually going to be like a bunch of reservations in that zone, right? To kind of remove ambiguity, that's why they have like 2 here. So the actual approach is to have like reservations and then the code for the reservation and the date and all this stuff. But you could just have, again, just a reservations element that would encompass all of these, and then you have like a list of reservations and like when were they done and all the information about it, right? Does it make sense? Yeah, here is just, they're just loose, is how the person that solved the exercise did. I would probably have like reservations. Yeah. I would do that just because I feel like it's a bit more organized. Yeah. But it's the same if you're going to, well, this isn't really a thing that shows up as much in XML, but my general logic when I'm doing this sort of stuff is first like think in JSON, and then what would I do in JSON, and then convert it, right? Which is like you wouldn't really have like a loose like reservation one, reservation two, like keys in the JSON object. You just have, you know, an array like normal person. So then this doesn't really make like super much sense to me. I would just have like a tag that would encompass everything. But it's up to you in the end, right? I'm just here to explain how you can do stuff, and then how you choose to do it is your choice. I can point you to the way I think is right, and I can tell you what I think is retarded, but it's up to you. All right. So yeah, any questions about just XML stuff, how you go from like the table to a document, or can I move on? Do you have the ability to do the assignment now? Yeah, I'll go over that now. Yeah? Okay. So XML, easy enough, right? It's like unstructured.
Yeah,
it is a structure, you just don't see it visually, right? Which makes it so it's kind of weird. The whole objective of XSD is also so you have like some structure to it, so you can move on to that. For XSD, W3 Schools actually has like a pretty good example about this stuff.
The problem I found with W3 Schools is that it doesn't show like the complete structure. It shows like individual.
Okay. Did you see this page? There you have like a full example. This is, if you go to XSD schema, I can post this link on Blackboard as well. XSD schema and then XSD example. And this gives you an XML document, and then it kind of tells you step by step how to create an XSD from this. So for an XSD, the start is always the same as well. You just go and copy it from somewhere, and it always starts with XS schema. And like what we want with this file is basically to define how our HTML files should look like, right? And to validate that we always have properly formed XML files that follow a specific specification, right? Because like we've seen yesterday with like XPath and stuff, if there's like some idiot that's like, oh, I'm going to display names with like first name and last name instead of just putting the whole name in, then that kind of like screws up your whole like, how do I find everybody's names, right? Because you don't get like everybody's like just text names, you get whatever garbage people put in there. So the way that is nice to just specify stuff is to first define what types are going to be in your XML. So here you can either start like bottom up or top down, and you basically just go and find like what are the things that are in the XML that I want to validate, and then work your way from there. So we could start with, you know, just title and be like, this is a type, the item title, which has a type of string, and this is like item quantity, which has a type of, you know, int, and the item price that has like some Boolean value, right? And then from there we could build the type or the item type, which is like a sequence of all these. And then from there we could like keep on building further up like what we want, right? Or you can take the opposite approach, which is you just start at the top here and be like, okay, I have ship order. What does a ship order have? And then you can see like it has an order ID, which is an attribute. So you define like it's going to be an attribute. And I'm going to define this later. And then you add another placeholder, which is ship order is going to add have an order person. And I'm going to add this later. And then after you're done defining what the ship order looks like, then you go, what is all the simpler types that are a part of this ship order type that I've created that aren't defined yet? And then you just keep on going until everything is defined. So I can duplicate this tab. This comes here. And then this comes here. And let's look at the fully formed XSD here. So, you can see that they've first defined like what a string type and what like ints and stuff would be. This is to specify like restrictions of like what the values inside of the tags would be. A lot of times it would be enough to just like specify that a type should be, you know, XS string. Sometimes we need to specify that it's like, you know, a positive integer or decimal or whatever, or we want to match it against a pattern. So here for order ID, for example, we've specified that it should be 0 to 9 and it should be always 6 digits, right? That's what this restriction is doing. So after defining all these simple types, what they've done is you start with the ship 2 type, which is this, right? And we've defined a XS sequence. So first, this is a complex type because it's multiple elements that are inside of that element, right? Do you understand like the difference between like complex type and a simple type? So like a complex type has values inside of it. So ship 2 has a bunch of like has name, address, and city and whatnot, right? A simple type like name just has like a text value. That's it. Doesn't have anything else. So then here we've defined the ship 2 type is going to be a sequence. When we define that stuff is a sequence, that means everything should be in order. You can't like have address before name, for example. And then we define that the name of that element is going to be name, and it should have like a type of string type, which we've defined up here as that it's an XS string, right? And then for address and city and country, we've done the same, and then we end up with like this complex type that basically maps like what this block should look like, right? Then we have like the definition of ship 2. And then we just need to keep on going and define all the other stuff. So here we've defined item type, which is going to be an item, and it has all these other things as well. So it should have a title, and it should have a note, You can see here that like it specified that it could have a minimum occurrences of zero because this note is optional, right? Here there's a note, here there's no note. So we specify, okay, this doesn't need to be here, but it can be here. And then we specify that there's an item type. And then using those that we've defined already, we specify the complex type of ship order, which is this big one, which is going to have a sequence which has an order number, the ship 2 that we've already defined, and then a bunch of items. And we've also specified here that it should have an attribute, which is an order ID, and it's required. And then we've defined like all these types, right? But they just exist in a vacuum. Like it's kind of like defining you have JavaScript. It's kind of like defining a class in any like programming language, right? It's just like a structure of like this is what this is going to be, and then you're instantiating actually like those types using an element. So the element basically says this needs to exist. This actually exists. When you're doing a complex type or a simple type, that is just saying like here's a definition for like this block or this element. It doesn't actually exist in the document until I insert it into the document using an XS element. But here's the definition, right? So by doing this, we have an XS schema. We define like all the types. And then this is basically the same as going like, hey, insert a ship order here. There is going to be a ship order element that is going to be at the root of the like schema. And then what the XSD is going to do is going to, okay, what type is it? It's ship order type. And it's going to resolve that into this because it has the same name. And then inside, it already knows that, okay, whatever is inside of ship order is going to need to match this definition. And then it's going to go through everything and be like, okay, what's an order person? It's a string type. So we're going to check against like what is a string type. And then what is like an item? It's an item type. So let me see like what an item type definition is and just kind of validate stuff like as a tree, right? It just goes on like all the nodes. Okay, is this valid? Is this not? And at the end of the day, it was going to like check if everything is valid, if all these rules match, like whatever the XML file has as data, then perfect, the file is valid. If not, it's not. Yeah, any questions about this stuff? Anything that doesn't make sense? Questions? No? Let me see. See if I can find a decent example in the exams. Okay, so let's take this and yeah, we'll take a break now, I think, then. If there's no questions. And then, yeah. 1:10 we'll resume, and I'll just set up an example in VS Code of this in the meantime. And after that, we'll move on. Yeah. So,
why do you add like type average? How does the name on the name? How does it know what shift to type is shift to?
Yeah. So you add type so it doesn't cause any confusions between the actual like tag and the definition, right? So this refers to the ship order type, and then this refers to the ship order, which is like this element in the XML. So this is kind of the same. This is kind of the same as having like a what the programming languages do you know? JavaScript? Anything else? PHP?
Yeah.
Anything typed? Yeah, okay, fuck. Yeah. So whatever is in a name, this refers to, yeah, this is going to refer to that tag, right? It's element, and then it's the name of the element, which the name of the element is that thing. And then it's basically saying, what is the definition of this then? It's the type. And then it's going to resolve the type to something else that is up here. Yeah, pretty much. So it matches, like, the name is usually what is going to be matched in the XML document, and then the type is whatever is going to be matched in the XSD. So this, what this is doing is basically kind of specifying, like, okay, we have, like, a... like the ship to, right? If you've ever, I'll show you some. Let me see if I can show you some examples of what. So this is like the same concept in a way, which is kind of like a normal definition for like a programming language, which is, this is saying like, here's like what a square is. It has a color and it has a width, right? So we're defining like, here's like what we expect this definition to like be, right? Like here's like a square is always going to have a width and it's going to have a color, right? And here in XML, it's the same thing where we have like, you know, we're defining like a ship to, and then we're saying that it had like a like location, and it had like an ID or something like this, right? And then we're saying that like the the ship order is going to have like a ship too, right? So this is basically the same as defining, like we could just define everything inside of the big one, right? Or we can just break it down into like smaller pieces so it's a bit more manageable, right? So well, yeah. So what this is doing is it is going to, this is defining that at the root of the XML file, there's going to be a ship order tag, right? That's like the start. So if we ignore the type, we just go there and check, okay, there's a ship order. So it's the same as just being like, okay, if you just have like ship order and just empty, this is valid, right? And then we define, okay, but it actually has a type and this is the type. So then it's going to go and find what is this type that ship order needs to follow. And then it goes up here and it finds ship order type. So that means then the ship order can't just be like a closed, like empty tag like that. It actually needs to have things inside of it. And those things that are inside of ship order need to match this description, right? Yeah. Or just once, like, we need to define, like, how that specific, like, block is going to look like. But we can reuse that, like, many times, right? Like, a single definition we can reuse multiple times. So, say, there's no reuse of things here. But we can define, for example, like order person, right? That is just a simple element. It's a string, right? Yeah. Say we want to use order person in some other place. Yeah. Then we can refer to it anywhere by access element, the name. It's going to be order person, and the type is going to be order person type. And the name of things and the type that they have, they don't need to match, right? I could call the ship to you thing like just something, but yeah, that needs to match something. Yeah, so all the definitions of like what type or what item is going to be an item type. And then you need to go and find, like, what is this definition? And you scroll up, and you're like, okay, it's this. And then from there, you're like, okay, I have an element, which is title, a note, and a quantity. And then what are these things? And then, again, you need to go into, like, what the type is and be like, okay, it's a string. And the same if you have, like, you know, ship order type. That says it has an item, okay, items. And then inside of the item, it says it has a title, yeah, it has a title. And then what is the type of title? It says it's string type, and then it's a string. So then it's good, right? Yeah. So you just need to, or I'll show you the process now, like a bit more step-by-step using code. But it's basically just like step-by-step. Is the big picture working? Yeah, okay, then like let's make it more and more and more like restrictive, or go further into like the tree to get there.
Yeah. sånn en ting. Det håper jeg på Lema her, for han bare, du kan ikke, det ikke noe vits å være her. Da når jeg vet hvem det som svarte opp, det det beste jeg vet. Du vil si det så svart. Det så nytt, ja. Nei, men hele community liksom, ja, det liksom på sin egen forum. Det ikke noe for oss.
Okay. So I'll do like a step-by-step example of how to create the XSD now when you already have like an XML file. So like XML file is going to have like all the stuff in the top right. Here you set up what the validator should be. By the way, I've posted the extensions that I'm using for Visual Studio Code on Blackboard, if you want to use that. So here I've defined that the XSD is going to be this file that I have up next here. And this is already complaining, like, oh, this doesn't match, right? Because my XSD file, I've commented all the stuff out. It's just a plain schema. And this is like, okay, this clearly doesn't match, like, whatever you've given me. So then you just need to start from the top and just change stuff so you get different error messages. And then you just keep on doing it until you get no error messages. So usually the start is to do like XS element, which means like there's going to be an element in the root of the XML. You go to the root of the XML, it ships. Great. Ships. And, okay. And we have ships. And, like, there's no errors, but this also doesn't really, like, give you that much. In terms of validation, it just checks if there's an element here that has, like, the name of ships, right? So I could just delete all this stuff. This would still be valid, right? So, okay, we defined that at the root of the XML, we're going to have an element that has the name of ships, and now we want to define what is this type, right? So then we use type, and then we can call it, well, it's not going to be like a string or anything, right? Because it's a bunch of stuff here, so it's a bit more complex than that. So then we need to use a complex type. And since it's a complex type, we need to name it, and we can just name it like ships type. We can name it ships, we can name it whatever we want, doesn't matter. We can name it ships type. And now we need to define like what ships type is going to be, right? So there's a bunch of stuff inside of ships, which means it's a complex type. So we need to do like access and complex type. This is going to have a name, and the name is what we've given it here. Name ships type. Okay. So this doesn't complain now, which is great. But then we need to keep on going, and we need to define, okay, what is going to be inside of this complex type. So ships has a bunch of ships. So then I'm going to sheet here and take this. So then we define that inside of ships type, there's going to be a sequence of ships. So the tag is going to be, or where yet. Inside of ships type, there's going to be a bunch of elements, right? Their name is going to be ship. Their type is going to be like a ship type that I'm going to define. And then the maximum number of occurrences is unbounded, which basically means like it can be zero ships, it can be infinite ships, it can be two ships. I don't care, right? Just it can happen however many times it happens in the XML file. If I want to limit it, then I can set like, oh, you know, ships can have more than like 10 ships, right? And that will limit it. But then if not, we can just have unbounded. And then, so inside of ships type, we're going to have a bunch of these ships. So we just have access sequence. And then we specify there's going to be a bunch of ships inside of that ships tag. Okay, but ships is also a complex thing, has a bunch of stuff inside of it. So again, take all this, copy it. We're going to have like a access complex type that is going to be called ship type. And it's going to have like some stuff inside of it. So if we just do this, this will complain because the content is empty. So we need to specify, okay, what is inside of a ship. So then we just need to keep on going. And inside we're going to have like an access sequence. And we're going to have all these elements. So we need to define what a ship name is, we need to define what a ship type is, what the capacity is, and what the voyages is. Again, I'm going to cheat because this takes a long time to type. So here we can just define that. We are going to have a sequence, and it's going to have all these elements inside of it. It's going to have a ship name, a ship type, and a capacity, and voyages. And these aren't defined yet. I don't know what they are yet. So I'm just going to say, like, oh, it's some type. It's a ship type, capacity, whatever, right? And then we'll worry about that later. So then we can come and look here. It's like, okay, ship name, is just a simple, like there's a string inside of it, that's it, right? Ship type is also just a string. Capacity is like a number. And voyages is another complex type. So we just take all of these and we need to specify what every one of these types are. So for a ship name, it's just a simple type. The name is ship name type. So it matches this type here, right? And we're going to specify the restriction that this value needs to be a string. So base equals access string. And yeah, so this is defined now. And yeah, this isn't fixed yet, but it will be. Okay. We're using sequence here, which means like, you know, all this stuff needs to be defined and needs to be defined in order. If you don't want, like, you don't really care about, like, the order of how your elements show up inside of a complex element, you can just do all. And this means, like, all of the elements should be here. I don't care about the order, right? And some other stuff. It's in the slides, but for the most part, you can get by just using sequence. I don't think anyone is going to complain about that. You need to know it for like real life, but for the exercises is usually like, oh, write an XSD that like validates this XML file. Then like you just say like sequence, it's always going to be in this order, good enough, right? But important, if you get an XML file and you know capacity is up here suddenly and here it's down here, then you need to use something else other than sequence, because if you just use sequence, one of this is going to be wrong and marked as an error, right? I'll mention it again at the end when there's not a bunch of red on the screen.
Couldn't you just have like string type? Is there a reason to have ship name type instead of just having like string type for all the simple elements that are string?
Yeah, here. Well, I'm defining the simple, because here I'm defining an element, right? And that means this element needs to exist inside of this. And then it's basically just a way of organizing stuff where I have like all the simple types defined in one place. And then I have like all the elements in the structure in another place. Ship type type?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just adding type at the end of everything. So there's no confusion like what is the actual tag, which is like ship name, ship type,
I mean, like,
capacity.
When you write the restriction, like, I know why I do that, but I don't understand. You don't have any more things like inside that element that's like a simple element.
Yeah.
So
you say like XS type like this. Do this.
No, I meant like
if you
simple type name.
The closing slash and then just have the simple type and the restriction inside the element.
Yeah. Yeah, like this. Okay. Well, we can check if it works or not. But in general, like the. It's done this way, so it's a bit more organized. Yeah, this won't work. Okay. Like this.
No, just like where the place you have type.
Yeah.
Just call that string type.
Yeah, this place. I can, what I did here. So, like, XS string, like this.
Oh, yeah, I was just, like, thinking about making my own type and calling it string type.
And yeah, but it...
One general for all the strings?
You can do that as well. It's more about what other restrictions are going to be on this, right? Because if I just name it, like, XS string, then you're restricting yourself that this is always going to be a string and you can't really add more restrictions to it, right? If I specify that this is going to be like the ship name type, then I can set that this is going to be a string. And then later, if it changes, like, oh, the client remembers, like, oh, you know, names can only have a, like, you know, 10 character length string, then I can just add the other restriction here as well, as opposed to just being limited by just having like access string here. So it's more of a way of like compartmentalizing stuff, so it's easier to modify in the future. Could you just like go directly and just put like access string and be done with it? Yeah, you could, and it would validate the same way, and you'd get it correctly in your exercise. But it's also about like creating good like methods for you to do stuff going forward. And if you're going to have like a huge XML file where you might need to like add more restrictions or remove restrictions or, you know, do all this stuff, then it's maybe better to have every single specific type defined on their own, so you can just freely just add restrictions as you need it as you go. But yeah, it's exactly the same thing. And you at home, you can also like play around with it as well. Like, how can I like change this to break it? Like, can I, you know, can I remove some stuff? Can I remove like the simple types and just add access string? You can try all this stuff on your own as well. It's a good practice exercise. But yeah. So here we have ship name and ship name type. Yeah, we could also do like access string, like you said, for the purpose of this presentation. I'll probably just do this so I don't have to like copy paste the same thing 100 times. So we'll just do this, and then we have voyages type, which is another complex type. Voyages type, and then what is inside of voyages? It's a bunch of voyage complex item things, right? Also, when you're doing stuff like this, like I just copy-pasted a bunch of excess strings, and then it's very easy to just be like, yeah, everything should be strings, and then you realize here, like, oh shit, yeah, capacity is actually like 15,000, so that's the number. But I was just copy-pasting a bunch of stuff, so then I fucked up. So capacity is actually a positive integer. So capacity, positive integer. So voyages, and then we have a sequence of voyage. So inside we're going to have a bunch of excess elements, and their name is going to be voyage, and there, yeah, I can figure out the type later. So you can see here now that like after we've defined all these things, stuff actually matches and we don't have that many errors. We just have for voyage. That's because we haven't like defined voyage yet. So now we need to define voyage, and again, that's another complex type because we have a bunch of stuff here. So complex type, and the type is going to be voyage type, and then inside of voyage we're going to have a bunch of elements again. And those elements are voyage ID, date, source, and destination. So we have these, and they're all elements, right? So we could just do access element, and then access element, and then their name is just going to be like whatever is in the XML. And then their type is going to be something. We need to go back and check. So for voyage ID, it's a string. For the voyage date, it's a date. For the source, I think it was a string too. And for the destination, it was also a string. No child is expectant at this point. What did I mess up? Oh yeah. And then there's an error there, and that's because I've defined that inside of voyages there should be a voyage, but I didn't define like how many should be. I just said like, yeah, it's a voyage. So then it's complaining that, you know, I haven't said that there could be more than one. So then you set up that max occurrence should be unbounded, and then you have no errors. It's just like the general process. Like, it's just, you know, oh, there's an error, I need to fix it, I need to define something, go and define it, okay, another error, go and define the next thing, until you have like the whole tree of things defined. Yeah. Say that now I want to specify that, you know, voyage ID should always be 2 characters. Now you run into a problem, because now I need to define like another like simple type and add some restrictions, because I've defined that it was just a string, but that's not enough. Now I need to like add some restrictions to it. So then you need to do like access simple type, and then add like a restriction to it, and then add your restriction inside of it, set the name, and then change the type of the element. Does that make sense? A bit more, at least. Any questions? Let me see. So if we do this is exactly the same, right? The reason why I did it is because usually when you're programming, you define stuff before you actually instantiate it, right? So that's the logic behind doing stuff like this. But you can also do it like the other way around. It will still work, because it will like interpret the entire file and then like make all the references as needed. Yeah, but then you end up with a bunch of undefineds, don't you? Well, it is undefined until it gets initialized, like all the variables. When you define, yeah, you can. But yeah, but that's not a good approach to programming. That's pretty bad. Yeah. But and like that's one of the many reasons people use like TypeScript a lot more these days, it's because of shit like that. Yeah, even though a lot of people use it wrong too, but that's another discussion. Well, a lot of people like come from JavaScript and then they like start using TypeScript and then they get frustrated because like, oh, this shit is always like breaking. It's not allowing me to do whatever I want. And then they start like fucking with it too, and then it basically becomes JavaScript as well. And it's so bad that it becomes like the thing that was trying to like replace, right? So it depends on the developer as well. But in general, that's, yeah. For actual good developers, like TypeScript's a big help for stuff. Coming back from the aside, is there any other questions about like the XSD stuff? I'm sure it seems like very easy now that I did it. But I'm sure in like 40 minutes when you're going to do the assignment, you're gonna be like, "What the fuck?" But yeah, this like it's, and that's part of why XML kind of like stopped being used a bit, is because you look at all this shit and it's like, "Oh, this is so verbose. I don't understand what the hell is going on. This is a lot of characters." But when you actually try to like look into what is being like written in the file and what it actually means, it's not actually that complex, right? It's just like basically a very verbose definition of what should be in the XML file. But it's like logical enough. But that's also why you should lean on the tools that you have. So use Visual Studio Code and use anything else that will warn you like what the errors are. Is this shit well defined or not? Does this work? Does this not? Because you know, you can fail a lot of times. And they will just keep on telling you like, hey, fix this. And then eventually you'll have something that is working. So, yeah. Okay. Nevertheless, this isn't the last time we'll like talk about this or approach this subject, because the plan at least is, so like next week, it's going to be NoSQL and MongoDB stuff, which is useful, well, especially for the web development people.
It's useful because we're not going to use this for the rest of our bachelor. We're just
going to use NoSQL. Yeah, I guess. Well, I'm too young to be old school, but I prefer like normal relational databases. For reasons that we'll get into like next week, but MongoDB is also useful to have as experience. And as you said, you're going to use it. Have you started using it, or?
We're
going to
start using it next semester.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good because I'm going to be gone, and then you can't like come and complain to me like, "Oh, it was that guy." So yeah, but I'll give you some introduction to that and how to use it and whatnot, and then the last couple of weeks is just going to be like revision and exercises and just going over everything again, so no one fails, and you can like have a lot of practice in the exercises. So even if you don't know what you're doing, you've like memorized the patterns of what you need to do to pass the exercises, and then you just do it even when you don't understand them. That's the objective here. So everybody passes, and I don't have to worry about anything else. And I don't have to make another exam afterwards. That's annoying. So yeah, we have 20 minutes left, so I'm going to go back to boring stuff and present the PowerPoint of XSLT here. So What is XSLT? As you can see, I'm like 2 weeks ahead of schedule, so that's why we're doing 2 weeks of revision. So this is basically a way to style your XML files or to transform them into something else that is useful for you. That's what the T there stands for, transformations. So you can transform it into another XML file, which is useful, like, for example, in SQL, you can just like select stuff and view data in a different way, right? For XML, this is a way of viewing data in a different way. You just have like some transform files, and then like your XML file goes through that like transformation, and then you end up with something else. It can also be used to transform XML into HTML, which 20 years ago, people were like, well, this is great, then we don't need to, or we can just transform our data directly into websites and we don't need to do anything. This is perfect. But yeah, that didn't really work out, and the web has evolved to a point where that's not really like anything to be excited about. But it's still something you can do if you want to visualize your XML file in a different way. So here's an XML file. Here's a XSLT style sheet, which is kind of looks like a XSD, but not really. You can see that it kind of looks like HTML there in the middle, and that's because it is. It's basically a file that is transforming the XML file into an HTML file. And then we're linking the documents, and then you end up with a nice little HTML file from all the data that was in XML. So why was this like a thing, and why were people excited about it, especially for like the XML part? Well, XML was used to transfer data, right? Like that was the whole objective. You take like a blob of data, you create an XML from it, like, oh, look at all the like nice little data that I have, and then you can just like share it between like front end and back end and back end and back end and do a bunch of stuff with it, right? But then when I want to display it, this is garbage as like a visualizing tool, right? Like you look at this and like you can barely make out what any of the information there is. Like you can, but it's not like the most visually appealing. So then if you just take whatever data a server has thrown at you and then you transform it and then you create a website where it's like maybe like a nicely organized table or something where you can see all the data and you can like add colors and whatnot, then it's a benefit, right, for like user experience. An XML and XSL like style sheet is a collection of templates that are applied to source nodes, and then each template has a match attribute that specifies what that transform or the template is matching against, and then that source gets processed through like all these matches, and then you end up with something else. So here's an example of a template rule. So you have a match that will match a pattern, and then you have like the definition of what the template inside of that pattern should be. That is going to become something else. So let's see an example. Here you have it'll match the root, and then it'll match against like the catalog CD inside of that root, and then whenever CD is matched, it's just going to like display the title of the thing with title beforehand. Let me see. Where's the tabs? Did I lose them? Yeah, I did. Oh, shit. Oh, well. So here's like a normal, like, take the root of an XML document and then just replace it with an HTML file. This is not going to, like, take any of the data into account. It's just going to, like, oh, XML file goes in, HTML, like, simple with a header and the table. Oh, that shouldn't be an H2 either. Okay. It should be H1. Then you end up with like an HTML file that just has like my CD collection and title and the artist, right? And then we can extract the values of the XML into whatever template we have. So we can extract like just the value of an element using value of. We can loop through all the elements with for each. We can do like ifs and elses to display stuff or not display stuff. And you can use like sorts to like sort whatever the values are in the XML. So here's some examples. We have an XML, XSL value of. So then you take an XML file and then you can create that beautiful table with the selected values of catalog CD title and catalog CD artist. You have to pay attention to that this only outputs a single value because we're doing value of, so just like match the first thing and then put the value there. If we want to iterate and display all the values in the XML, then we can do a for each there. So this will go through like match against everything, do like basically a for loop. Okay, here's all the CDs, and then display the value of the title and the artist. And then you end up with a nice little table like that. Wow, great. Again, you can filter on stuff. So you can like filter the CD that have an artist of Bob Dylan and then just display the CDs of Bob Dylan. Get that. Or you can give me all the prices that are bigger or smaller than 10, and then you end up with all of the CDs that have a price lower than 10. Notice that in the selects we're using XPath. So that's another use for XPath, is to do these sort of things where you can like get a bunch of, imagine like you're calling a server, it returns like an XML document, and then you can like display the data in multiple ways and organize it and do all these things fairly easy, right? Then you also have if expressions. So here we're doing like a for each, going through every CD. If the price is greater than 10, then display it, right? So instead of using XPath, we just use an if statement, which depending on if the person knows XPath or not, might be like more understandable, right? And we can sort data. So selecting stuff and then sorting the artists and then displaying the artists by their sorting names, right? You can also set the order. And then if you need to do like a if else if whatever, then you can use choose and then when otherwise. So that's the syntax for the if else. So you can do wonderful stuff like adding colors to the table. For in this case, it's if the price is bigger than 10, highlight those. Or if it's something else, do that. Yeah, but this is all. This has been. It's not really like a thing anymore, right? It's kind of more historical. It is still useful for if you want to transform XML files into other XML files, right? Because the alternative to doing it is maybe just using code to do it. And then it can be a bit of a hassle of like, okay, I need to parse the entire XML file, and then I need to rearrange it somehow, and I need to output something else. These style sheets, what they do is that you can do all that. Like, there's already a tool that does it, right, to transform all this stuff. So you don't need to like go around and implement your own like JavaScript version of transforming an XML file into something else. You could just use this. The downside of this is that no one understands it anymore. So it's maybe better to just do it in like your own programming language so people can actually understand what you've done. But if you want to like just put in like a couple of hours to understand like what this can do, and it's like fairly easy to do, then you know there's a tool of like, oh, I need to transform an XML file into something else. I'll just use that instead because I learned it in class. I'm not gonna put any money on if any of you is actually going to use any of this or not. But no, at least you know that it exists, right? So yeah, this is basically just a nice, neat way of like changing stuff to some different things. Let me see. Yeah, like the type of websites that were around when this was a thing was something like this. Or something like this. It's the Brandon Fraser webpage that has his biography and stuff. This is actually actual web page, but yeah. Some people might argue that the web was a better place back then, but yeah. This is like a bit disconnected from what the reality right now is, but that's in the sense of like how this was the first web page on the internet. In this context, like all these things of like XML and like XML transforms and all this stuff is like groundbreaking, right? Now it's like, oh, you know, fucking have all the Reacts and have all the nice fancy stuff that changes the pages as you do things, and there's no reloads and stuff, right? But back then it was just like, oh, you know, the peak of innovation was adding something that, like, you know, have some flags, you know, waving or something. It's like, oh, this is great. So, yeah. Yeah. I think that's it for today. If you want to fuck around and see like how the web looked like 20 years ago, you can type any website into this and you can see what you end up with. Yeah. Yeah. That's how the web used to look like. So, yeah, but I guess that's it for this week. So next week we'll start like MongoDB and NoSQL and whatnot. Yeah. Cool. Oh, yeah, here you go. This is Reddit transformed by that website. It comes out with sound too. This, a lot of web pages used to have like all these like shitty ass like play stuff as you go into the page type thing. Yeah.